Okay, we're here on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph in Kiddushin, the Sugya of Chalipin. And the schedule is as follows. We'll try to finish up this Sugya today and tomorrow. And Thursday, Mr. Shem, we'll skip to Daf Hamid Beis, the Sugya of Lashonos of Kiddushin, so see if you can get a jump start on that. And that's the Sugya of Nosanhu V'Yomrahi, which will lead us into the Ebenezer, Hilchus Kiddushin, Simon Chav Zayin. We'll finish up Chav Vav this week and start Chav Zayin and Mitzvah Shem next. I want to take this opportunity to wish everyone a great Zman. And the power and the energy of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Shmini Atzeret should lead us, to project us through the entire winter, which will be a Mitzvah Shem, a wonderful winter here in Canada. So the Gemara wants to know Minyana de Reisha Levute Mai, a classical structure in the Talmud. What is the number have to exclude? If it doesn't exclude anything, I don't need the number. The Gemara posits a possibility that the Minyan is coming to exclude Chuppah, but that contradicts Rav Huna, because Rav Huna indeed holds that Chuppah is meaningful, it's effective, and it works for Kiddushin. He has a Kal Vachomer. If Chuppah works for Nisuin, whereas the other Kinyanim of Kesesh Tarbiyah do not, then certainly Chuppah should work for Kiddushin. And Lahalacha, by the way, we're going to discuss this in the afternoon, in Yirtz Hashem, that the Rabbeinu Chananel is Choshesh. She's worried about the Sheet of Rav Huna, and Halacha L'maisa, if a woman was brought into the Chuppah without Kiddushin, he requires a get, because we're afraid that Rav Huna might be correct. But in any event, one thing is clear, that according to Rav Huna, we cannot postulate that the Minyan and Dereisha is Levutei Chuppah. And the second candidate is Chalipin, and that leads us to the Sugya of Chalipin. So a man gives a woman Chalipin, Tarat Mekudeshesli B'Chalipin Zu. So last time we discussed that Chalipin has two subcategories to it. There's Chalipin of Hamachlif Parah B'Chambar, which is a barter exchange. You want to get my cow, I want to get your donkey. So as soon as I give you my cow, automatically you make the kinyan on the cow, I'm kona your chamor. So Rashi here does not go down that path. That's not the case that we're dealing with. But rather we're dealing with the second category of chalipin, namely kinyan suda. You'll see that in Rashi, four lines up before the end of the page, kinyan suda. In Kinyan Sudar, which is derived from Megillus Rus, Vishalath Ish Nalo Me Olav, the Kona gives the Makne a Kli. As soon as the Makne is Kona the Kli, the Kona now owns the object that's being transferred. The Rambam in Hilchus Mechira, it's easy to remember, Perkei Alokahei, delineates all the objects that can be sold through a Kinyan Sudar, whether it's Karka, whether it's Avodim, whether it's Behema, Sharkol Metaltalin, they all lend themselves to a Kinyan Chalipin. The Rambam goes out of his way to point out that whenever you see the word Kinyan in Shas, it means Kinyan Chalipin. The Ikar HaDerech HaZos, the primary method of Chalipin, of Kinyan Chalipin, Sheyitein hakona lamakne kli kolshu. The Rambam adds the words kolshu. What does kolshu indicate? How much is the kli worth? Even less than a shava pruta. So the classical case of chalipin is where the kona gives to the makne kli kolshu. The Omer Lo, he says to him, knei kli zeh. It's very interesting that the Rambam puts the emphasis on the kinyan that the makne acquires on the kli. Chalaf ha-chotzer, in place of the chotzer, meaning the karka, or yayin, if it's metaltun, or behem, or evet, shemacharto li, bekach, bekach, kevan shegbiya mochres ha-kli v'kono. So again, the Rambam re-emphasizes the fact that the mocher makes a kinyan on the kli, kona ha-lokech oso karka, or oso metaltun. He hasn't yet paid the value, he's only given a kli kolshu. The kli kolshu is certainly not commensurate in value to the karka that he's purchasing. Nevertheless, the kinyan is chal, it's irreversible. The echad mehem eno yochol lachzor bo, there's no possibility of backing down from this kinyan. it could be that the source for the Rambam in understanding that Kinyan Chalipin, Kinyan Sudar, works in such a way that the Kone gives the Machna Kli. The Machna is Kone the Kli. And as a result of the Machna being Kone the Kli, the Kone now acquires ownership on the Karka. The source for that is the Lashon HaGemara in Bava Metzia. In the first Perek, the Gemara describes Chalipin as Derech Mekach Umemkar. It's the style in which which is operative in the sale of commodities. Any commodity that I sell to you, you give me something, I give you something in return. You give me kesef, I give you an object in return. You give me shava kesef, and I therefore transfer ownership to you on a piece of karka. That's called derech mekach umemkar. And although I think we can come to this conclusion without the Ramban, the Shut HaRashba, which is Miyuchas to the Ramban, based on the Rambam, nevertheless, I think the Ramban really, really conveys the message in a very clear way. Look at the Ramban's language, as quoted in the Tshuvas HaRashba, which is the third source on your page. The Ramban says that what's Chalipin? What do we call Chalipin? Kemachlif Nechasov Bisudar Zeh Shalkone. The word Chalipin, says the Ramban, has a tremendous significance. What it hears in the word Chalipin is the concept of a double kinyan, an exchange, in which we're swapping the chosim for the chosim. In this case, the Sudar, and it's interesting that the Ramban emphasizes the Sudar just like Rashi does, the Sudar is being transferred over to the Machna, from the Kone to the Machna, and now the Kone acquires ownership, b'chalipin, on the Nichsei HaMachna. The Chazon Ish is bothered by this. We've seen the Gemara in Bava Metzia calling it Derech Mekach Umemkar. We've seen the Rambam who speaks about the fact that the Kone gives the Kli to the Machna and the Machna acquires ownership on the Kli. We've seen the Ramban who uses the terminology Chalipin, in which case the Kone gives over the Kli to the Machna and the Machna gives over the Karka to the Kone. But there's one problem over here, and that's what I think the Chazon Ish is implying. Yeah, it really looks on the outside like a classical case of a Kinyan Kesef or Shavu Kesef, in which we make an exchange. But there's only one issue, and that is, how much is the Suda worth? The Suda is not commensurate in value to the object that's being transferred over to the Kone. In fact, the Kone takes upon himself a chov, as it were, that's the Chazon Ish's language, we'll see in a second, to pay up the balance, the value of the karka, over the course of time. So in a classical case of a kinyan on karka, metaltalin, on evid, whatever it might be, the machna receives the value of that object that he's transferring over to the kone. Here in the case of chalipin, what's he getting? A kli? With all due respect to the kli and its chashivus, he's not getting in anything, in any way, something of value that's commensurate to the object that he's being machna to the kone. Therefore, says the Chazon Ish, bevadai, there's no issue, you have to admit, ein hasudar tmura mamish. You cannot claim or understand that the kli that the kone is giving over to the machna, and the machna is making a kinyan on, is in some sense an exchange for the value of the karka that he's transferring over to the kone. Sharei af shalokeach nosein sudar, even though lokeach is giving a sudar, and we could add to the Chazon Ish, the Machna is acquiring ownership over that kli. Mikomako umischayev l'shalim od ve'a mekach. 99% of the value of this mekach, of this sale, has not yet been paid. And there's a chov, which the lokeach has accepted upon himself, to pay up that balance. So then, in what sense can we really, I guess, honest to goodness, say that the sudar, that the kone is being Machna to the Machna, is an exchange, it's a barter, it's a tmura, it's somewhat commensurate to the object that the machna from his part is transferring over to the kohen. Ella, and therefore, bal karcha, we have no choice but to say, shalom nitain hasudar el lekinyan, that the sudar is nothing more than a formal kinyan, to clinch the deal in such a way that it's irreversible. Mikolokom, I have to admit to you, says the Chazon Ish, that the tsuras hakinyan, the way that the kinyan is performed or implemented, if you look at it externally, is the sudar is omeid kaviyachol kitmur lamekach. It looks like there's some sort of a barter exchange, but it's not a tmura. Why do I mention this Chazon Ish? The Chazon Ish is not usually a source that I get exposed to and I expose the Talmidim to, but in this case, I think if you keep the Chazon Ish very close to your heart, very close to your back pocket, you can really use it to understand the Rashba. And by the way, I just want to say, B'derech Agav, that the Rashba is very important in understanding Chalipin. In the Rashba in Shuvis, and the Rashba in Chidushim, the Rashba in Chidushim here in Kiddushin, and not only here in Kiddushin once in Daf Gimel, but also later on in Daf Yud Alef. The Rashba in Shuvis vacillates as to what the definition of Kinyan Suder is. And perhaps, if we understand the Rashba very well, and as I say, using the Chazon Ish, sort of pulling it out of our back pocket, the Chazon Ish's language, we begin to get a grasp on our sugya, on the issue of whether or not Chalipin should be a valid method of Kinyan Kiddushin. Says the Rashba, is Sudar a Tmura? Is the Machna so happy and so excited about receiving this Sudar, which is a Kli, it has some Chshivus, that now he's willing to be Machna, no matter what the value of that Karka may be in the case of real estate, for the sudar, receive the sudar, and quid pro quo the machna the karka. If that be the case, says the Rashba, tam kinyono within kesef. Sudar or chlipin is a subcategory of kinyan kesef. What then is the chidush of chlipin? Now, the Rashba has to backtrack now and say, well, if there's a real tmura going on over here, and the machna is really so thrilled to receive this kinyan sudar, make a kinyan on the sudar, that he's willing to be machna for that sudar, a piece of karka that's worth who knows what, then, so what is the chiddush of kinyan sudar? Why do we need a whole parsha of v'shalaf ish na'lo me'ola? Shenis chadishka, shafil lasos din tmura sagi, we would think that in order to create this tmura, you need to offer a real tmura, real meaning something that's genuinely commensurate in value. But here, there's an independent chiyuv to pay the balance. It's exactly what we saw before in the Chazon Ish, that ena tmura, ena suda tmura mamish. That's what I think the Rashba means when he says that there's going to be an independent obligation, a monetary chov on behalf of the lokach to pay up the differential. So that's a great chiddush. So again, fundamentally, according to the Rashba's first approach, chalipin works, he operates midin kesef. The chiddush is that he's not forking over all the kesef now. He's giving some sort of a down payment, and that down payment is enough. For that down payment, the machna is willing to transfer ownership and fork over this karka to the lokach. That's an amazing chiddush. He's not really getting the tmura in real monetary terms. O Dilma, or perhaps as the Rashba, let's understand Kinyan Sudar in a different way. Ena Sudar Konami Din Tmura, meaning the Das Machna is not a result of the fact that he received the Tmura, and he so received the Sudar, and he's so excited about receiving the Tmura that he's willing with a full heart to transfer ownership over his karka that's worth millions for that Sudar. That's not what's going on. But rather, Sudar is Konami Din Maisa Kinyan. And now we come back to that formal kinyan that we discussed before. What does this Maisa kinyan accomplish? How does it operate? Umoel mitam gmir's das. We'll see this in the Birch HaShmuel, who's quoting Reb Chaim. He doesn't mention Reb Chaim by name, but elsewhere he does. And the Birch HaShmuel here in Kiddushin Siman Hey mentions that the essence of Kinyan Suder is Gemiras Das, meaning that the Torah required, in order for a Kinyan to be Chal, that Gemiras Das be formally, objectively clinched through some action. It's not that the Kinyan, as it is in Kesef, creates the Gemiras Das. That's called Tmura. When the Machnas Gemiras Das is absolutely a result of the fact that he received payment for his object. That's not how it works, according to the second approach. But rather, Gemiras Das is there. It's a given. The Machna has decided that he will transfer ownership over his possessions and give it over to the Kohen. However, the Torah requires some sort of formal method of clinching that Gemiras Das. So the Gemiras Das essentially is inherent in a Maisa which objectifies it, crystallizes it, and clinches it in such a way that it's irreversible. Rak shetzuras Maisa kinyin utmura, shekav yochal ha-mocher mekabel suda avar cheftza. That's only the way the Torah requires it to look on the outside. But really what's happening is that the kinyan is nothing more than a Gemiras Das. This, my friends, of course, would lead us to the conclusion that a prime example of kinyan suda is simtuta. Because what is simtuta? Simtuta is an action which has no inherent tmura element to it. It's a handshake, or in the bursa, mazal ubracha, but something that's accepted as formalizing and concretizing the Gemiras Das. The Rashba goes on to say that there's a tremendous nafkamina, and we're going to apply this logic of the Rashba over here to Kiddushin. Says the Rashba, is sudar a form of kesef, a tmura, or is it not? It's only a maisa kinyan with Gemiras Das. The Nafkimina, says the Rashba, is in a case of a kinyan lachar lamed. Because kesef in kinyan lachar lamed has a very, very special role, a very powerful energy. And that is that kesef is a kinyan lachar, works as a kinyan lachar zman without the problem of kolsa kinyano. So if I, for example, buy your field and I pay you now, and the kinyan was agreed upon to go into effect 30 days down the line, so the chalos ha-kinyan will be in a month, what happens when the machna receives that kesef? The maisa kinyan is set in stone. It's complete. It's final. The chalos is suspended for 30 days. But there's no need to repeat the performance of the maisa kinyan. That's the power of kesef. Masha'en came in other kinyonim, which are kinyoni yad, kinyoni guf, for example, mashicha or chazaka. For example, if let's say I give you ownership liachar zman on my cow, so you make a mashicha on my cow, and you take the cow into your backyard, but you'll only own the cow, it's agreed upon 30 days down the line, then that kinyon has to be in existence 30 days down the line. The maisa kinyon is batel mevutal if the cow leaves your reshus before lamed yom, or if it's not there at least at the end of the lamed yom. That's all kolsa kinyana. So the Rashi says as follows: with the problem of kolsa kinyana applied to kinyan suda, the kona gives a suda to the machna and takes back the suda before the 30 days in a kinyan leachar lamed. Says the Rashi, it depends. If kinyan suda is a kinyan kesef, then since there's a special power to kinyan kesef that obviates the psul, the disqualification of kolsa kinyano, then even if in this case the kone retrieves his suda before the kinyan is chal, it's valid, because since the machne received that suda 30 days earlier, like any kind of tmura, like any kind of kesef, that finalizes the Maisa Kinyan. The Maisa Kinyan is now set in stone. And there's no problem of Kol Sekinyonu. But Medvarmur, that only makes sense if I subsume Chalipin under Kesef. But if Chalipin is a different sort of a Kinyan, because as the Rashba says in his second Tzad, or as the Chazon Ish said right up front, Bevadai Ein Hasudar Tmura Mamash, you can't say that Das Machne here is a result of the receiving the Suda. The Suda is not worth much. And therefore we have to translate Kinyan Suda into other terms. Namely, it's some sort of a Maisa Kinyan. Well, when we get to Taurus Maisa Kinyan, there's nothing to finalize that Maisa Kinyan and freeze it in its place so that it could now be meaningful at the time of the Chalos Kinyan. And therefore the principle of Kol Sekinyan will apply, and if, in a case of a Kinyan Lach HaLamed, the Suda reverts back to the Konen, and the Matna doesn't have possession of the Suda at the time the 30-day period is over, then the Kinyan is not Chal. This, my friends, I think, will give us a tremendous insight into our Sugi. Let's go full swing back to our Sugi. The Gemara has a Havamino that Chalipin should work for a Kinyan Kiddush. And the Gemara explains, we have a Kinyan that operates by Stei Ephron and through the Gzeres Shava. It is therefore valid for Kedusha Isha. Which Kinyan do I have in mind? How did Avraham Avinu acquire ownership over the Maras of Achpel of Stei Ephron? Kesef. He gave 400 shekel Kesef. The Machne, in this case, Ephron Achiti, was very happy to receive 400 shekel kesef, of course, despite all of his antics and his dramatics at the beginning, but at the end he counted out every single last shekel. Okay, 400 shekel was worth a lot more than it was today, in the modern state of Israel. So he was very happy to receive tmura, the value of this karka. And through kicha kicha, we derive kesef by Isha. It means that her receiving the kesef creates, stimulates, or generates a das machne on the part of the isha. And therefore the kedushin is chal. The Gemara now wants to extend that to chalipin. But the question is obvious. And Tosfos yells and screams about this. Is the Gemara postulating that any potential Kinyan that Avram could have used to acquire ownership over the Stei Ephron is therefore through Kicha Kicha valid for Kedusha Isha? Are we willing to throw into boot Shtar Chazaka? For the Gemara later on is going to ask Shtar Milola. We know what's the source for Shtar and Kedusha. Why not derive it from Kicha Kicha mi Stei Ephron? Ella, obviously, there's got to be a closer relationship here between the actual method that Avram employed to acquire ownership of the Stei Ephron and that method that we want to use through Kicha Kicha to acquire an Isha. There's got to be a closer relationship. We're not just opening a Pandora's box and an endless kind of field and saying, well, anything that would have worked is working here through Kicha Kicha. We're not saying that. Otherwise, the Gemara Shtar Minola makes no sense. And other kinyanim that might operate by an isha should be valid. The answer is that chalipin is kesef. What does that mean, chalipin is kesef? I mean, the Chazon Ish says that chalipin is not kesef. Kesef is something that generates das machne. I receive the value, and for that value, I'm very happy to be machne you my field. And Uri Achita and Ephron Achiti was very happy to be machne the Stei Ephron for the value of 400 shekel. But in the case of Sudar, I mean, what's the Suda worth? And even if I grant you that it's worth a pruta, even if I grant you that it has some chshivas to it insofar as it's a kli, remember we quoted the Rashba. The Rashba in Shmuah says that moda mitza taina, that he has to be moda to half the taina in order to be chayav a shmuah. It could be that if he's moda on a kli, even if the kli is less than a shava pruta, the kli has such chshivas that it's like a shava pruta, and therefore there's a, it generates a chayav shmuah. But nevertheless, to call it a tmura and say that that's what generates the das machne, very difficult. Unless we assume we're talking about a kli that's worth a pruta. I mean, that's a possibility over here. But if we don't want to go down that road right now, if we want to take chalipin as a general kinyan and say that it should work by Isha, and the Rambam says that the Iker kinyan chalipin is with a kli kol shehu, so the question is obvious. What is the close, intimate relationship here between chalipin and kesef? It seems that there's a gap, a gulf, that's worlds apart. In the case of kesef, the makna receives the kesef value of the object he's transferring ownership of. In the case of Sudar, he's receiving a handkerchief. That's wonderful. You know, he now has a... You know, when I took practical rabbinics in YU with Rabbi Joseph Lipstein, all of the shalom, so he told us, every rabbi always has to have carry a kerchief, a handkerchief with him, because if you're at a funeral and somebody starts crying, or so, you know, you got to, you better pull out your kerchief. Okay, good. It was a nice lesson. A kerchief is very important. But to say that, therefore, she's going to be machna herself for the kerchief, that's very difficult. So here at this point, we can go in a couple of different directions. There are a number of possibilities, and we have to decide for ourselves which of those directions is more attractive to us, sounds more plausible. One direction is to say, as Rabbeinu Tam would have it, that we're talking about a kli, a sudar, that's worth on the market, or the objective value, of pruta or more. And then it's really coming back to this concept of a tmuga. Because after all, I can buy your real estate that's worth millions for one shava pruta. Okay, we have machlokas the taz and the smah. I don't understand that, but leave that on the side for a minute. And one pruta is enough to generate that taz smah. You'll pay me the rest later. So then, if chalipin is with a kli of a shava pruta, then it's not far to say that that's a kind of a form of a kinyan kesef. The only problem is, I don't know. Again, I can't say Rabbeinu Tam is wrong, but you know, you have to really convince me that the Gemara here is referring to a kli that's worth a shava pruta, and dafka kli. The whole hava meaning that chalipin should work in kiddushin is only in the case of a kli that's a shava pruta. That was the hava meaning. I don't know. So I don't see it in the Gemara. I mean, you really have to add a whole piece here to the Gemara. The other option that we have is, let's open up to any kind of kli. You know, let's open ourselves up to a havamina that even a kli that's worth less than a prut on the market could operate effectively as a kinyan chalipin for kedusha. And why? Because of kicha kicha misteyef. So what's the logic? After all, we're not saying that any kinyan whatsoever that works for kaka should work for kedusha isha. That the Gemara doesn't say. So based on the two tzadim of the Rashba, who vacillates back and forth about the nature of chalipin, we can go in two different directions. Either a pachos mishava pruta is enough to create some sort of tvura, and here the Chazon Ish is going to frown on us, because again, the only leg you have to stand on is the fact that it has a shame kli, and then you're going to have to assume that she's so excited about getting a kerchief that she's willing to be makadish herself for a kerchief. Which again, I admit to you that a kli sometimes is worth way, way beyond what it's worth on the market if subjectively you need that kli. We all know experiences and situations in which we needed a kli desperately, and the kli wasn't worth anything on the market. But if you don't have it, you're in trouble. And if you get locked into a room and you need that little thing to get out, or some sort of key that's not worth a pruta, for you it's worth millions on a subjective level, maybe we could say that chalipin operates even in a pachas shav pruta with das makna. And she, in effect, is willing to be makadish herself for a pachas shav pruta. This reminds me of a discussion that we had way back, not so long ago, with the Rashba of Basra, who is speaking about the case that kedusha, a woman has vested interest in wanting to be married. All the psychological chazakas of Kav Levei Santandu, and she just needs to receive something in order to clinch the Das Makna. And therefore the Rashba explains in the Sefer of Basra Memches that Toliu V'Kaddish Kiddushe Kiddusha, the Kiddushin against her will is valid because Adav Onse V'Zuze Gamra U'Makne Nafshe, says the Rashba, that Zuze could be one Pruta, because one Pruta is the standard Kiddushin for which a woman is willing to be Makne herself, because she has all the vested interests in Kiddushin. That whole structure, the Rashba there in Kiddushin, Daf Memchas. And then we could say, let's substitute Kli for Kesef Shavaput. Kli as Kshivas. And then the Gemara is going to say, no, she's insulted, because it's worth less than a Prut. Or we could say that, no, the Gemara never had a Havamina that Chalipin works in the same way that Kesef works. And she's so excited and thrilled to receive this kli, machmas chashivus hakli, that therefore she's makna herself b'tmura for the kli. But at least one thing I have to grant you: the operation, the implementation of the maisa kinyan of chalipin is identical to that of kesef. Meaning, I, the kohen, give the makna something. Whether it be kesef, whether it be shava kesef, whether it be a kli, the shalafish nalo in the case of chalip and the sudar. And once the machne acquires ownership over that kesef or shava kesef, the transaction is bond, is valid. This is what I call the tsuras kinyan. If you remember the Chazon Ish's language, the Chazon Ish says that mikomakom tsuras hakinyan besudar ome kaviyachol kitmura. It looks like, on the outside, externally, kesef, a tmur. I take something as a kona and I give it to you. You, as a machna, make a kinyan on that object. That happens in every case of kesef or shava kesef, and in the case of chalip and of sudar as well. The Gemara thinks then that that element of similarity, in which in the tsuras hakinyan, chalip and sudar, resembles kinyan kesef, that's enough to include it in the alfusa of kicha kicha misteif. So the Gemara rejects it. And the Gemara says, no. V'emachi nami. You know, you've absolutely convinced me that chalipin is a valid candidate to be derived through this gzeira shava of kicha kicha and equated to kesef. V'emachi nami. In other words, at this point, the Gemara is taking a step back. I agree with you that the Tana of our Mishnah, Rav Yehuda Hanasi, when he edited the Mishnah, he wrote the word Sholosh to exclude Chalipin, because there was a strong Svara to say that Chalipin could be derived from Kicha Kicha, because of its similarity to Kesef. But now tell me, reveal to me a secret. How did Rebbe know that Chalipin doesn't form a valid method of kinyan kesef, of kinyan kedusha? In other words, the havamin is so strong that tell me why you reject it, or why the tanoim reject it. So Gemara answers: Chalipin isnu bepachos mishava pruta, the isha bepachos mishava pruta lo makne nafshe. That's the gears that we have. The Rashi has, and Rashi has three words: b'gnai hu lo. So Tosu says, you're rejecting Chalipin because of Gnai Hulo? I don't understand. What about Pashta Yoda? The Gemara says that according to Beit Shammai, less than a dinar is a Gnai. Yishamak Pedas Alatzma V'lomakachem V'pachas V'dinar. So the Gemara says, but Pashta Yoda, if she accepted more than a pruta, but less than a dinar, it was clear as day that that's what she was receiving. She didn't send the shliach, it wasn't at night, and yet she accepted it, then it's valid. So in the case of Chalipin with the Pachos Mishav Pruta, the only problem that you have, says Tosfos, is Gnai Hula, that's your issue in Rashi's. Then what about Pashta Yada? And Tosfos goes beyond that. He asks a second kasha. He says, I don't understand, the Gemara in Beit Shammai objects to Beit Shammai's Kpeda, because what about Bansi the Rav Yana? You know, if you opened up a Pandora's box here, it should be a moving scale depending upon your social financial strata. If you belong to the upper echelons, you're one of these fancy ladies, you know, Bansi the Rav Yana, you know, you come from a multi-billion-dollar family, and it would be insulting for such a girl from such a financial strata to accept less than a tirkud of the dinarit. And the Gemara uses that argument to undermine who is it, Rav Huna, or who was it on Daf Yud Aleph, who explained Ketayda? What? No. Who was it that explained Beit Shammai in that way? Rav Zera, right? Tanoim, Rav Zera. Rav Zera, how can you tell me Beit Shammai is worried about Ketayda? Then Ketayda is relative. So if that case, then Rashi saying Ketayda is relative, it should be relative even according to Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel says a prut is a problem because less than a prut is gnayula. Well, maybe if less than a prut is a gnayula, then if a bank said there are yana, less than a tirk of the dinner is a gnayula. The Rashba has a third kash against Rashi. If Rashi, you are correct, that the problem with chalipin is that pachos mishav a prut and a kli is a gnayula, then what about if the klipin was Yosef Yishova Pruta? Rashi himself addresses this question. But we don't understand Rashi's answer. Rashi says, Vafilu bikli, sheyesh bo shove pruta, iyoev la beloshen klipin, adiyoev la betoras loshen kinyin, o kicho kidushin. So even if he offers her a suda, which is worth a pruta, Rashi says it's invalid. Why? If Gnayula is a separate extraneous problem, meaning as far as Kinyanim are concerned, Chalipin would be a valid Kinyan, it's not inferior to Kesef. And what, you're telling me she's insulted? It's a Gnay? That's a Zaytika, that's a separate problem. But it doesn't justify that therefore Kinyan Chalipin should be completely excluded and left out of the Gzeir Shava, even in a case of Yosef Mishava Pruta? Batul Utaras Chalipin? Why Batul Utaras Chalipin? You have a problem with Gnai? You know, every Kinyan could, in any particular scenario, could generate certain problems. But that doesn't mean, therefore, that the Kinyan is completely invalid and removed from Kesef, from Kedushin? Why? Chalipin, according to all logical reasoning, the Gemara says, the Salkadaitach is correct, should be derived from Kicha Kicha. You have a Kepeda problem? Good, so we'll solve the Kepeda problem. We'll give her a kli that's worth a shav and prut. Why bottle a Torah kli? So the Rashba, yeah, Kedom.
When we say batula, is that we're talking Doraisim, Rabbanan?
No, we're talking about Doraisa. That it's not included in the Kicha Kicha Gzer Shav. We do have a sugya later on, which we're going to touch on in Mirtz Hashem, of a Kinyan which the Rabbanan remove. But right now, I mean, in the way that the Rishonim understand Rashi, Batla Toras Chalipim is a Doraisa halacha. This is not a Darabana.
Was Mavatla because of an Omdana?
Not that the Torah was Mavatla, but that the Torah never indicated or meant to indicate that this is included in the Gzeirah Shavah.
Because they know the Yisho would be offended by it? Because they
knew... That's the Rashba's kasha. So the Yisho would be offended by it. So let's solve that problem. Circumvent that problem. Give her a pruta. I mean, give her a kli that's worth a pruta. Why do you say Batla Toras Chalipin even if the kli is worth more than a prut? That's the Rashba's. So the Rashba, there are two important Rashbas here that have to be addressed. One is later on in Daf Yud Aleph. The Rashba defends Rashi against Tosus' two kashas. Let's review the two kashas of Rashi. Number one, Tosus raises the objection of Pashta Yada. And number two, what about Bansei de Rav Yana? So the Rashba says that that's not a problem. The Kajalon in Kanki Amir Bereish Pirkei Vatsa the Isis of Pachmi Shav Pruta Lo Makani Nafshi Likshinami Hachi Mi Bansei de Rav Yana Inami Pashto Yodo Vekibla Pachmi Shav Pruta Tis Kadesh Kemi Dictated Nafshi Talimus Umishim Hachi. Based on these two questions, Lo Garis Hossam Revein Tam Lo Makni Nafshi El Isim Pachmi Shav Pruta Lo Makani Umiu, says the Rashba, Afilu legirsas hasvarin. Let's accept and certify Rashi's text of lo maknim nafsha. Ikal emema. The hasam there kpedasan kpeda. There says the Rashba, the kpeda is a kpeda, and pashti yoda is not going to make a difference. And bansei the Rav Yanai, we don't care about them. Why? Because what's the kpeda on Daf Gimel in our sugya of Chalipin? The eno min aroy sheyiknu nafsham bipachas mikan keno kevon the eno nechshav bishum makom. Rabbosai, I would add one word to the Rashba. I mean, that's a chutzpah on my part. But I mean, just to clarify, elucidate the meaning of the Rashba, what is he saying that over there on Daf Gimel, Eino Nechshav Bishum Makom? Eino Nechshav what Bishum Makom? Nobody has it? Again, the Rashba is trying to defend Rashi. Posh the Yod is not going to help. Why not? Posh the Yod could help in the discrepancies between a pruta and a dinar within the context of Beit Shama. But here on Daf Gimel, it's lav the kpeda tell you, Milsa, that there is a kpeda. Why? Kedon di eno nechshav bishum makom. What does it mean? Eno nechshav what bishum makom? But in Lashon Kodesh, I mean in Gemara terms. Not in lavs. It's not called what bishum makom? Kesef. It's not called mamon. Less than a pruta is not mamon. It doesn't have a shame mamon. For example, I want to buy a field from you. I have to give you a minimum of a pruta. So I come along and I say, you know what, take a half a pruta. You say, fine, I'll take a half a pruta. But that's not mamon. If it's not mamon, it can't affect you in a kinyan. So therefore, whether she's makbid or not is irrelevant. V'cheinami, posh the yod, v'kibla pachus v'kan, eina mukudeshes, v'batla daita, it's kol nashim. It's not mamon. If it doesn't have a shame mamon, it's irrelevant. When does the Gemara think that Bansei de Rav Yanai deserve a Tirkun the dinner that's only in a case where it depends upon their subjective kpeda? The shame mamon is supplied by the fact that it's worth more than a pruta. But in Beis Hillel's perspective, all we need is mamon. And that's why Beis Hillel suffices with a pruta. But if you give less than a pruta, then the fact that she receives less than a proof, she's willing to be makadosh herself for less than a proof, that doesn't help us at all, because it's not mamon. Objectively, it's not mamon. But what's more fascinating to me is the Rashba's answer to the other question, which Tosas doesn't spell out. Namely, what's his butler atars chalipin afilu be yosem yishava pruta? Why can't chalipin work if it's more than a shava pruta? What was Rashi meaning to say over here? Says the Rashba, v'im tomar, and if you'll ask me, komakom, my ka'omar, what does the Gemara mean? Lefi shachlipin isnu v'pachos v'shav pruta. Neva de chlipin isnuhu v'chlipi shav pruta. At least grant me that chlipin should operate. You never really disqualified chlipin. You never really justified why chalipin, as the Havmin would have it, couldn't be derived from kicha kicha mistei ephron. El what? You have a problem of kpeda because it's less than a shava pruta. But what if the chalipin was a shava pruta? Uli olam says the Rashba, shar knios shebesode isnu beisho. Says the Rashba, zuein akush. The cave on the ikar chalipin, afilu bepachas mishav pruta isnu, ki avid luhu bekli hashave mana. Even if it's worth 100 zuz, lo yipa lo yafe kocho, mikach kli sheino shave pruta de shame chalipin chadu. An interesting phrase, shame chalipin chadu. Why? Why do we have a right to equate all forms of chalipin? Integrate them into one entity. Uniform. He says the following. The bishleim e'chalipin lo nitnu l'chazora. If there was halach, then in case of chalipin, the makne does not return to the kone his sudar. Hava, the Gemara says in the Darim that the Kone has a right to get back his Suda. If there was no such din, Hava Amina Amrinon, Ki Yoivla, Pachos Mishoputu Lo Makni Nafshe, Ki Yoivla Shavaputu Makni Nafshe. If this was an outright transaction over the Suda, in which the Makni receives the Suda, no backs, then you could say if the Suda is worth more than a Shavaputu, then she'd be Makni herself. V'inami, and furthermore, iikar chalipin lesnu klal b'pachus mishavut. If there was a din that chalipin could never work in less than a shavapruta, then amrina we would say kevan de kniya chashuvehi. Since she's getting something that's chashuv, it's worth a pruta. Machni b'nafsha, she would be machna herself, like kesef for a chalip, and chalipin would work. Aval hashto, but now. The kaimel and the chalipin kniyam and asla haknas uvalavdi doninu. The machna doesn't own this suda on a permanent basis. It's only a temporary basis. Is therefore feel ki yov la chalipin shavim mona my havi. Even if the chalipin the kli is worth the proof, it's not valid. Domi kovakom. Listen to the language of the Rashba. Lav begufan he nicknays. The kinyan chalipin is not begufo shel kli. El bedinon, but rather in the din. But also, when you see a language like that in the Rishon, you got to just jump up. What's he talking about? It's the diburim ba'alma. It's just words. La begufan hineknes el bedinon. Vedinon afilu v'pachus mishal v'putis. Is therefore, says the Rashba, Kevan shedin chalip and isa v'pachos mishav v'pruta lo chshiva lo u'gnayu lo lahaknos atzva v'kniya v'pachos kazos. Does anybody want to explain this Rashba before I tell you the chiddush of Rav Baruch Ber?
According to this, if you didn't have this clause that it can go back, if you made it not amanas, according to him, it would work, chalipin?
I don't think so. I'll tell you why. Because since the chalipin could have been achieved with pachos mishavapruta, therefore lav big gufan he nicknames el bedinam. And once it's bedinam, then the fact that it's worth a pruta is irrelevant. It's lomaila v'lomot. So Tzvi, the question you have to ask yourself now is, what does the Rashba mean when he says that chlipin works not me gufan but bedinam? I mean, it's pashut. So abstract, I mean, words and words, but what's the difference? Oh, excellent, but rather?
Kenyan. The din, it's a Kenyan.
Yeah, no, it's, oh, so you're very close. Rav Baruch Ber says the din is the shem kli. Rav Baruch Ber says the following. What achieves the Kenyan of chalip? And it makes no difference whether the kli is worth a pruta or not worth a pruta. Is it the shavius of the kli? That would be called begufan in the language, in the terminology of the Rashba. Or is it the status of the kli as a kli? Now, here we learn muksa last year, so we know that the shame kli is very important. And the shame kli is important in Kabbalah's Tumah and many, many dinim. Says the Rashba, what we have to raise here is the following fundamental question. What generates, what produces the kinyan of chalipin? Is it the gufan shel kli, meaning its inherent value? Or is it the din kli? The fact that it has a shame kli? And the Rashba says that there's a very simple barometer or litmus test that you can apply to determine whether it's A or B, whether it's gufan or dinon. And what's the answer? How do I test it? Pachas mishavut. If the kli could be worth less than the shavapruta, says the Rashba, then what effectuates the kinyan is not the gufan shel kli, its value, because it's worth less than a pruta, but rather the dinam, the shame kli. What the Torah was machadish in the parsha of Vesholafish Nalo is that the shame kli, when it's handed over from the kona to the machna, and it could even be kni al manas lahaknos, like we said before, it could be that the kona is going to get back the kli. That's the maskana of the sugya in the Durham Daf Mem Ches. Nevertheless, the kinyan is effectuated, and ein zel zeyach lachsa. But why? Because a kli was handed over from the kona to the machna. That clinches the key. It's what we call a formal key. Says the Rashba, such a key is a gnaihu. And it matters not how much the value of the kli is. Because kula chlipin chadanin. Chlipin is a kinyan bedinam and not begufan. That's an insult to an isha. Objectively. I don't care about this particular isha or that particular isha. Again, the Rashba is going to apply the rule of Batla Daitet Tzol Kol Nashim. But for a woman not to receive something so that she can be makna herself in exchange for that which she received, but rather to have a full kinyan achieve kiddushin, that's called gnayu. The Mela says the Rashba, it makes no difference whether the kli is worth a puta or not. This is a brilliant, brilliant Rashba. It gives you pashut a methodology in learning. It's a derech halima. But what I would like to do in the few minutes that we have, the 6 minutes or 7 minutes that we have left, is to give you an overview of five other alternative approaches to understand this Rashi as to why Klippin doesn't work if the Kli is worth more than a Shavar Puta. As we said, the Rashba is one, but there are five other alternatives. You may have noticed that I'm very excited about the Rashba. I really think that the Rashba is Emes Lamita. But we have other possibilities. The first of which is the Ramban and the Ran. The Ramban is going to offer another possibility, but together with the Ran, they suggest the following. That based on the Gemara in the Durham that we mentioned before, that in Chalipin, the Kli reverts back to the Kone. The Kone has rights to receive his Kli back. It's a kind of Matan al Manas Lahachzir. Therefore, she doesn't get any hanok. Now, let's think about this. If a man is Makadish and Isha with Shava Kesef, with a Tanai of Amanas Lahachzir, so we paskin that Matan al Manas Lahachzir Shmei Matana. So, for example, on the first day of Sukkot, I can give you my Dalad Minim, be machnet to you, you're like a Kenyan, and I'll say to you, I want it back. And nevertheless, it's a Lukatan Lachem, you can be Yotze. Because Matan al Manas Lahachzir Shmei Matana. In Kiddushin, it doesn't work. A Matan al Manas Lahachzir in Kiddushin is invalid. And here we have a tremendous plukta in the Rishonim why it's invalid. The Pashtus, the simple reading of the Gemara Davav, is that it's a gzera. It's only Durabbanim. Rabbi David, you were asking me before about the Raisa Durabbanim. The Rambam, in Hilchas Ishus, in Perek Hei, the Rambam holds that it's a Doraisa halach. And why? Because Kesef in Kiddushin is Kesef Sheyesh Bahano. It's Kesef that she could benefit from. So even though in Mekach Umemkar I can give you Kesef and you can make a Kinyan on that Kesef and the Kinyan will be valid and I own now your field, even in a case where that Kesef is something that you can't benefit from because it's going to revert back to its original owner, that's only as far as Shar Kinyanim is concerned. But in Kiddushin, the kesef itself has to be kesef sheyesh bo hano, and therefore matan al manas lahachzir can't work. So too says the Ramban, in the case of chalipin of sudar, she doesn't have any hano from this kli because we paskin that the kli reverts back to the kona. So it's not a permanent kind of hano, and therefore it's invalid for kiddush. Then we have the Talmid Arashba. And he says that the whole din here of chalipin in Yosef Mishava Pruta is a gzeir. If we were to recognize the validity of chalipin in a case of a kli that's worth a pruta, then tomorrow somebody's going to recognize the validity of chalipin bepachos Mishava Pruta. So it's a gzeir derabon. So they disqualified Yosef Mishava Pruta atu. Pachos Mishava Pruta. I find this a little bit difficult because Lechora, in the worst case scenario, so they recognize Kedusha when it's not recognized. Yeah, but you have to understand that then if another Makadish comes along, there's a Mamzeris issue, right? Because if you recognize the first Makadish, you're not going to recognize the second Kedusha. So that's another possibility. The Marit is quoted in this Knesset Yisrael that I use. He says that even in more than a Shavah Prut, it's a Gnai. Why? Because then the Kinyan is not a result of the Shavius. And the proof of the pudding is because the Kli didn't have to be worth the Shavah Prut. If it had to be worth the Shavah Prut, then the Kinyan would be a result of the Shavius. This is very similar to the approach of Rabbi Baruch Ber in the Rashba that we mentioned before. But the Marit is a little different. How is he different than the Rashba? The Rashba emphasizes the fact that the Kinyan Chalipin is Bedinon and not Begufon. That you won't find in the Marit. What you'll find in the Marit is, even if I grant you that the Chashivas of a Kli should substitute for Shavah Kesef, but he says, "Ein chashivas hakli omed liyomim rav." In other words, currency is something that you could put in a bank. It's made out of metal. It lasts forever, and therefore it doesn't disintegrate. But a kli is made to be broken. That's why I always tell everybody: don't get attached to a kli. You know, people have all sorts of beautiful kalim that they have. You know, beautiful crystal, and you know they buy who knows what with you know designs on it and this and that. But at the end of the day, you know, my three-year-old kid just pushes it over here and boom, in less than a second, it's smashed to smithereens. So therefore, he says the Marit that there's no chashivus in a kli, even if it's worth more than a shavah pruta. This Marit is the diametrically opposed to that Rashba I keep mentioning in Shmuas, that the chashivus of a kli is such that it substitutes for a value, and therefore you can generate a chiyuv shvu. And then we have the approach of the Dvar Avram, who is the Rav in Kovna. He died in the ghetto. They say he was heartbroken. I mean, just seeing Jews die by the thousands daily in the Kovna ghetto. He was a very unique individual, very fond of my Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik. So the Kovna Rav says the following, which I have somewhere here, but I don't know where I put it right now, but in any event, his thesis is that Chalipin and the power of Chalipin is dependent upon Minhag. In other words, whatever is the accepted custom in a particular place at a particular time, that is the Kinyan Chalipin. Again, please understand, he's not saying that Kinyan Chalipin is not Doraisa, it says only has the power of a minim. He knows that Kinyan Chalipin is Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, or it's Divrei Kabbalah, which is Doraisa in this case. But he's saying that Kinyan works, the source of the Kinyan and the power of the Kinyan is minim. He says that since Chalipin works B'pachos Mishav Aputo, therefore they never accepted the minim of using Chalipin as a method for Kedusha Isha. So this is a very fascinating discussion here in the Dvar Avram. What the Gemara here on Daf Gimel thought in the Hava Mina that Chalipin should be affected by Kedusha. What thought in the Maskana? Somehow in the Hava Mina, the Gemara thought that since all the ingredients necessary for Kinyanin and for Kedusha exist in the case of Chalipin, therefore Chalipin should be valid. And the Gemara rejects it because there's no Minog which was accepted to be a Kaddish for Chalipin. And if there's no Minog, then the Kinyan doesn't exist at all. So here again, recommended reading, if you'll ever want to do a research project on Kinyan Chalipin and its essence, you'd have to really read through the Dvar Avram very, very carefully. And finally, just to conclude, Rashi, if we learn Rashi the way Tosa seems to learn Rashi, that everything is based on this Gzeirah Shavah, then what Rashi is saying is that if we had the Gzeirah Shavah to include Chalipin, then we would have no choice but to extend the effectiveness of Chalipin even to the case of Pachos Mishavah Pruta. This is very similar to the concept of Kula Chada Ninhu, that Chalipin is one entity. So we'd have to come to grips with the following question. Is Chalipin derived from the Gzeirah Shavah or is it not? If it is, then Chalipin should be effective based on Kicha Kicha Mistei Ephron even in a Pachos Mishavah Pruta. And since we know that in Pachos Mishavah Pruta it's a Gnai for her to be married off, therefore we cannot accept the Gzeir Shav and extend it to incorporate Chalipin. It's an either-or situation. Once Chalipin is accepted into the membership club, then it always would have to be effective, even if it was a Pachs Misham Pruta. Since in Pachs Misham Pruta, the Gemara argues Kiddusha could not be worked because it's Gnayu law. Therefore, we have to reject the Gzeir Shav. We have no basis for the conclusion that Chalipin is effective by Kiddusha. Okay, then